So I want to share a word that I shared with First Service that I felt like was just something the Lord laid on my heart. And I feel like there could be people in this service as well that have the same thing going on with them. And I want to share something with you that the Lord has put on my heart. So if I share this word and you feel like it's yours, then you just reach up and grab it from the Lord and you just take it and just receive His freedom. Galatians 1, verse 10. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Amen. So this is what the Lord I felt put laid on my heart this morning. Is there are many people in here who feel like every time they leave a conversation with someone, they are continually overanalyzing that conversation. And this happens to many women. It may happen to men too, but us women, we talk about it more. And we're worried about what someone might have taken our comment as, or what someone might have thought when we said this or did this. And sometimes it's even when we're sharing what the Lord has put on our heart, we go back and we beat ourselves up. So I feel like the Lord wants to set some of you free today and let you know that you serve Him. Amen. And that you don't serve people in the sense that your highest authority is God. We love people, we want to be kind, and we want to be loving to people, but what happens is the enemy will deceive us by telling us, you're being kind for overthinking these things. You're being super thoughtful. And God wants you to know, no, you're being deceived and being left in bondage by worrying about every single word you speak. So just be faithful to what God's called you to be. And just trust Him for the rest. Amen? Well, this morning, I'm going to share about a topic that I've been thinking about a lot lately. A principle that I believe every single believer must value in their lives if we're ever going to be all that Christ has called us to be. If y'all hear me like breathing really heavy in this thing, just tell me like, just do somebody do like this. Also, I should note, I'm pregnant. So there's a few people who asked, and I didn't say anything before in the first service. So I am pregnant. That's why I'm wearing all black, kind of slim me up for the camera, you know. But anyways, this topic is very important. We can have a lot right in our life, but if we get this one thing wrong, it can change the trajectory of our lives. If we get this one thing wrong, it can literally be the difference between a full life in Christ and a life of surviving instead of thriving. This principle is so important to the kingdom of God, but it's also so important to our denomination, the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. It's one of just 7 core values that we hold as a denomination. It stands in line with things like we value holiness, we value scripture, and we value Christ's kingdom. So it's a big deal. This topic is generosity. The IPHC website says this of generosity. We prayerfully value generosity. All of our resources, whether material or spiritual, are gifts from a loving God. We do not live fearfully based on our lack. We live gratefully based on His provision. We commit ourselves to be obedient as tithers, joyful in giving, and generous in heart. As He gave, so shall we give. I'm going to pray for us today. Lord, I thank You for opening up hearts today, that we may see this as a principle and not as a ploy for anything, God, but a principle of the kingdom. That we're just talking about who You are and who we are to be in You. Lord, we just pray that every person in here would lay down any offense that they may have had in the past to hearing messages like this. And God, that they would open their hearts to hear what you have to say. Not me, but you. Because Holy Spirit, you can move and work in a person's life in ways that we could never even imagine being able to do. There's no fancy words that can outdo your job of being God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you. You are the generous one. And we worship you in Jesus' name. I'm going to take my points from that statement from the IPHC. So my first point today is going to be that we do not live fearfully based on our lack, but we live gratefully based on God's provision. Turn with me. Well, you can write these scriptures down. I have a ton of them. And I said this in the first service, but many of you know me very well, and you know that I could talk for literally 2 hours without stopping. So I'm not going to do that to you today. And I want to just read these scriptures so that I can get the points out so I don't keep y'all here past lunch, okay? All right, 1 Kings 17:8. I may not get this word right, and that's okay, but it's Old Testament stuff, so if y'all have any grace for me in that, thank you. 1 Kings 17:8. The Lord said to Elijah, "Go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you." So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, "Would you please bring me a cup of water?" As she was going to eat, or she was going to get it, he also called to her and said, "Bring me a bite of bread too." But she said, "I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in my house. I only have a handful of flour left in a jar and a little bit of cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook my last meal, and then my son and I will die." But Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you have said, but make a little bread for me first." Y'all get what he just said? She said she didn't have enough. I don't know if y'all ever made bread before, but if you only got a handful of flour and a little bit of oil, you only making one thing of bread, if that. He said, "Make some for me first." And she's like, "Excuse me? Then use what is left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son." What is left? That's faith. He's just speaking. He's like, "Just use what is left." "For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and oil left in your containers until the time the Lord sends the rain and the crops grow again." So she said, she did as Elijah said. She and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. This widow had literally nothing. She had just enough to make it through the day. Surely there were wealthier people Elijah could have stayed with. Surely there were people who had plenty more than her, even though it was a drought. Why did God ask her to do that? Why did he send Elijah to her house? How dare God ask to give everything, someone to give everything they own, including their last meal, right? I can remember when I began praying for breakthrough in our finances. We always seem to be in lack. What I didn't expect was a series of events where God would begin to open my eyes to my extreme lack and then call me to give sacrificially. He would tell us to do crazy things, like pay our tithe instead of our light bill. Even though that would mean that we wouldn't have money for our light bill. He would tell us to give our last $20 in the offering, even though that meant that we didn't have money for gas for work the next week. He would tell me to give my entire paycheck from my new job for 6 months to a ministry that helped me grow closer to Him. Even though my husband had just been laid off from his job and we owed money for a mortgage and a rent in two different states. Really, if people knew what we were doing, they would have thought we were absolutely out of our minds. I wonder if the widow's friends felt that way when they saw her carrying her last loaf of bread to some guy who called himself a prophet. What I didn't know was God was doing more than having me plant seeds. He was planting a seed in my heart, a seed of a principle of the kingdom of God. If He could trust me to give sacrificially in my lack, and I could learn to trust Him with my light bill, then He could trust me to give anytime and anything. And I could trust Him to provide at any time for anything, including my life and my dreams in America, and trade it for a life that was positioned in the center of His will in a foreign country, where I would face the need for more trust in Him than I had ever experienced before. You see, if you won't say yes to 10%, you'll never say yes to giving your whole life. This leads me to my second point. We commit ourselves to be obedient as tithers. This is the point that gets people. This is the point that offends people. But if it offends you, I invite you to ask the Lord why. Come on. Because you don't answer to me or to anyone else, but you do answer to the Lord. Many people will say to you that Jesus made no requirement of the tithe, that it's an Old Testament requirement. And that's somewhat true. However, the really sad thing is, most people use it as an excuse to do nothing rather than what He really meant, which was an invitation to give everything. When we come into the kingdom, nothing is ours anymore. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Everything we have belongs to God. And I want to really pull you out of your box if I haven't already by reminding you that everything you have belongs to others too. Before I see someone in the back clench their purse and run out yelling, "Crucify her," let me show you what I'm talking about. I think we can all agree that the first few weeks after the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecost, that was a pretty good time for us to have like a good example of what we should live like as the church, right? Like the Spirit was fresh. They didn't have no time to live in the flesh. Like, you ever got right out of revival? That's like your most holiest time. That's when you're blessing everybody. You saying, "God bless you" on the phone. You ain't even saying bye. You're like, "Okay, God bless you." Acts 2:42-47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Yes, amen. To fellowship, yes. To sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. We all like that. Especially when they got fried chicken. and to prayer. Amen. A deep sense of awe came over all of them. And the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And if you are in this Pentecostal Holiness Church, you know we like some signs and wonders and miracles. Amen? Amen? And all the believers met together in one place. We like that too. And shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And listen to what God did when they, as a response to their generosity and love to each other. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Listen, I said this in the first service. I'm going to say this again because I think it's really important. If people start getting their medical bills paid up in the church, there's going to be some curious folk out there ain't never been to church in their life. We're supposed to be the most generous people on the face of the earth. Freely we have received, freely we give. Since some of you may dismiss this as a radical type of Christianity that maybe you're just not into, I want to give you one more scripture straight from the mouth of the apostle whom Jesus loved. 1 John 3:14-19. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But if a person who has no love is still dead, anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. Some of y'all need to forgive. You need to forgive people. If you still can talk about it like it happened yesterday, you have not forgiven. And you need to remember that you were forgiven, so therefore you are to forgive. Just that's a free note on the side there for you. And you know that murderers don't enter eternal life with them. We know what is real love. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and our sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? That's hard. That's hard stuff right there. Because every single person in here knows someone who has a need. And every single one of us can say that we've turned a blind eye to our brothers and sisters at times when we just use the excuse that we're going to pray for them. We got to remember this. Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. Our actions don't make us right with God, but they prove that we're right with God. Yes. To sum up this point, 10% is just the starting point. Christ never expected you to use a calculator when it comes to your generosity. If we can't commit 10% of our income, then there is no way we will ever be joyfully generous enough to give it all. This leads me to my last point. We will be joyful in giving and generous in heart. As he gave, so shall we give. I'm going to read that one more time. And we will be joyful in giving It was funny. I had to read this third point. I had to read it twice in the first service too, because after I hit you with the tithe thing, everybody's like, I don't know if I can take any more of this. We will be joyful in giving and generous in heart. As he gave, so shall we give. We have to ask ourselves why. Ask ourselves why we say no to things. Why do we say no to tithing? Why do we say no to giving? Why do we say no to people that need our help? Why do we say no? And a lot of this is talking about believers being generous to other believers within the body of Christ. Because if we start taking care of each other, then what happens? God will add to our number daily. I believe that's a principle. I don't believe that's just because the Holy Spirit fell then. We have the Holy Spirit. Like we live and move and be with the Holy Spirit every day. If you're a believer in here, you have the Holy Spirit. That wasn't just for then. It's a principle. When we become greedy is when we close our hands, when we become greedy and we just worry about me and mine. Well, the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Even your enemy. So me and mine is you and yours. That's the truth. That's the truth. And if we don't like it, that might be part of the problem. That's the truth, friends. We will be joyful in giving and generous in heart. As he gave, so shall we give. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 13. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. You say this, if you don't really want to give, but God's saying, give that $20 in your pocket, and you really don't want to do it, don't do it. Because you ain't going to get no blessing from it. Because you gave it reluctantly. You gave it begrudgingly. And no one else gets a blessing from it either, because then you hold it over their head that you gave them the $20. We have to be joyful givers. If you're not ready for that, that's okay. You just go home and get your heart right, and then you give it when you're ready. Yeah. Me and my husband have this thing where sometimes he'll tell me, like, God told me to give X amount of dollars. And I'm like, he didn't tell me that. He's like, well, you might need to go and pray about it so we can be cheerful about it. And I will. And same thing happens. It usually doesn't happen to him. I don't know why. He's just like, he'll be like, okay, God, that's what you said. But for me, I'll be like, I was going to use that. I already had it planned out. But I wait until I'm cheerful about it. Because I'm like, if I'm going to be giving my vacation money, I'm going to be cheerful about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be pleasing God when I do it. I'm going to get my heart right. Because it's not God's problem, it's my problem. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Do you hear me? Sometimes we clench on because we don't trust God with our finances. We don't trust God with our possessions. We clench on, but God says, you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As scriptures say, they shared freely and give generously to the poor. Their deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer and then the bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. A harvest of generosity, meaning it'll just be in you. It'll just be natural. It'll just be who you are. At every turn, at every moment. Have you ever met people who, it's so sad to me that all believers aren't like this, but have you ever met people who you are reluctant to tell them your prayer request because you know they're going to meet your need? Like, they'll give their last dollar to meet your need. Man, it is quiet up in this Pentecostal Holiness Church this morning. Have you ever met people like that? Man, I have several friends like that, and you're like, these are my close friends. And I'm like, I want to give you my prayer request, but if you can meet it, you're going to. And I feel like, man, I don't want to give you my prayer request because I know that you are like that. So I don't want to tell you because you're going to do it. That's what we need to be like. That's what we need to be like. We need to be the kind of people that know that anybody at any time knows that they can come to us with a prayer request, and if we got the means to meet it, we're going to. And we want to be the people who give. We want to be the people who give. We don't want to be the ones constantly taking and not giving. For God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer and then the bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources. This is the Bible. This is not from anywhere but the Bible here. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you will always be generous. Do y'all hear that? Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. God doesn't ever want you to stop being generous. When you broke, he wants you to be generous. When you get a lot because you were broke, but then you became generous and God started providing for you, he wants you to keep being generous. And when we take your gifts, Paul's talking to a church here. He says, when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Man, don't you love when, like, you are able to do something for someone and the Lord provides for you to do that, and then they thank God because of something you did? They praise God. They give glory to God because you were obedient, because you helped, you provided. It's wild. The God of the universe gets praise in our actions. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Did y'all catch that? Your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. It's not earning you anything, but it's proven it. It's proven that the Holy Spirit's living in you. He's working. He's moving. The Apostle Paul tells the believers in 2 Corinthians that they should decide how much to give. But lets them know that the more they give, the more they receive. And not only that, But he wants them to decide to be cheerful in their giving because God loves that. And it pleases him when we are excited to give. I want to say something that I think is super important to note here. I've heard a lot of people say, we don't give to get. Or, we should never give expecting anything from God. It's basically comments like that. They're used to show disdain for anyone who would be encouraging people based on the principle of sowing and reaping. I want to say something as clearly and as nicely as possible, and I'll add some Southern sass in there for y'all. I've literally never seen a person willing to give everything they have, including anything they may need, and have a selfish motive behind it. How many greedy people y'all know that want to give everything they have? How many generous people do you know that give everything they have and they seem selfish behind it? It doesn't work that way. And Jesus knew that. And that's why in Matthew 6, this is what he said. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That is why I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you'll have enough to eat or enough to drink or enough to wear. I'm kind of going fast through that. Isn't life more than food, or your body more than clothing? He's telling us, don't hold tightly. Don't hold tightly to your stuff. He says, don't worry about these things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. We like this scripture. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. If we seek to please God with our generosity, we don't have to worry about what people think. No one who gives their money, what they formerly had their trust in, to God, who they now have their trust in, with the motive that I'm going to get more money to trust in. No, you will absolutely not serve God and money. Some of these preachers that people will hate on, who talk about sowing and reaping, real hard on them. People are real hard on them. But if you look at some of their statements from their yearly giving, they're some of the most generous people you've ever seen in your life. And there are many people that have come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ because of them. We got to be careful. We got to be careful what we say against men and women of God. Brothers and sisters, giving generously actually rescues you from the concerns of life. Giving generously stores up treasures where moth and rust cannot destroy. Giving generously frees you from the need to provide for yourself. And it puts the ball in God's court. Because when we seek first his kingdom, everything we need is given to us by him. Does that mean you need a job? Yes, you need a job. You can be more generous with the more you got. So you don't need to just sit around receiving because, oh, I'm giving the little bit I have. No. You need to work. Amen. But here's the thing. The more you have to give, the more you can give. A man in second service or in first service reminded me of this. He said, Jesus paid attention to the lady who gave 2 copper coins. He paid attention to her. She gave all she had. He paid attention to that. He pays attention to our generosity. Doesn't mean we earn anything with him. It just means we can live freely without the bondages of worry and concern. There is no mistake in that passage that Jesus was talking about seeking God, not only with just our prayers, which is what we usually believe, but trusting him with everything, including our money. You guys can stand with me. I want you to ask God today if this word offended you, or if you thought for a second this is just another church service where they want money. No one is coming knocking on your door for your money. Again, I know this for me. When we were raising our support, I said to the Lord, Lord, I want nobody who is reluctant to give to our support, because they're not getting blessed from it. And they're holding something over my head when I'm just trying to do your will. I only want people to give when they really want to. Now, I'm not requesting any money today. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is check your heart. Why is there things in your heart that you won't let go of? Why are there possessions that mean so much to you that you couldn't possibly give them away? If anything I've learned from losing all these dear saints in the Lord that we have lost at Fountain of Life way too soon, is that we hold too tightly to stuff when it means zero. Because in the graveyards, there are no treasure boxes that are being used. If you decide to become a person of extreme generosity, do yourself a favor and make sure that you let that go. If God says give to this ministry or this family, you say yes and you give it. It's no longer your job to decide how it's stewarded. God can handle himself. You give because God said so. And you trust God to be the judge of how it's used. If you tithe, and you should, don't be that person who demands to know how each of your tithe dollars is spent. If you give some clothes to someone because God told you to give your clothes away to someone, do not stalk them with your eyes every Sunday to see if they're wearing them. The moment that stuff leaves your hands, it's buried. It's a seed in God's garden. And if you keep digging that thing up to check on it, it'll only ever be a seed. If you decide, because it is a decision, to live generously, get ready to live fully. Get ready to live with open hands, knowing that at any time God could call you to give whatever you have, no matter how important it is. Get ready to release worry and pick up peace and trust to know him and to trust him more fully than ever before. For the widow, it was her last meal. For Paul, it was his prominent position as a zealous Pharisee. For us, it started with a light bill. And then it led to him asking us to give up the American dream for the sake of the gospel and reaching the unreached. For you, it might be some clothes, a Christmas bonus, or maybe a house, or a car, or an entire paycheck. But let us never forget, for God, he gave it all. it was his son. He is the ultimate generous one. Freely you received, freely give. This is a principle, church. This is a principle. We are kingdom citizens. If we are in Christ, we are kingdom citizens. It means we're generous with everything we do and everything that we are. We're generous. Nothing we have is too important for God not to use it. If we have a nice bracelet that's our favorite bracelet and we say we're never giving this thing away, it is going to be an heirloom. God might say, give it away. If it has something attached to your heart, he might ask you to give it away. God might say, I know you worked real hard for 10 years to pay for this car, but I want you to give it to that person. Do it. Do it. Be faithful in what God calls you to do and watch him bless you. Listen to me, church. There are too many principles in the Word of God for him not to be found faithful, providing for you at every moment when you are generous. He will always be who he says he will be. I only highlighted the tithe because I think that it breaks something off of us. It lets us suddenly give God something that we had control over. And when that breaks, then you'll start giving to other things. Then you'll start blessing your brother or sister who have a medical bill. They're swamped. They're worried. They're concerned. Then you'll start blessing the lady who God says, give your nicest clothes to. You'll start doing all those things just naturally because it'll break something in you. If we can say yes to God with everything that we are, let's not be fooled into thinking that it doesn't first start with our provision. Do we trust in God for everything? Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you, God, that this word is going to penetrate the hearts of those who needed to hear it, God. That we will see ourselves as a generous church, that we have freely received. We have freely received the blood of Jesus. Didn't pay a dime for it. You paid it all. We have freely received, and now everything that we are, our whole lives, everything that we are, we freely give. You're worthy of it all, God. You're worthy of it all. At the end of the day, you're worthy of it all. If we can throw our crowns at your feet in heaven, we can throw our treasures at your feet now. We trust you. This is between you and God today. This isn't you and your church. This isn't you and your neighbor. This is just between you and God today. Let God break your heart and show you the places that you haven't surrendered to him. Let him show you the possessions that you hold too tightly to. And let us become the most generous people on the face of this earth. And let us let our Heavenly Father add to this church daily. Add to his church daily as we become the most generous, most kind, most loving people on the face of the earth. In Jesus' name, we're going to worship and then she'll close us out.